Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Mr. Marius Grinius. He served in the Canadian Forces from 1967 to 1979 as a member of the Royal Regiment Canadian Artillery. He then joined the Canadian Foreign Service, where he served until his retirement in 2012. Mr. Grinius was previously an ambassador of Canada to the United Nations in Geneva from 2007 to 2011, and the Conference on Disarmament from 2007 to 2011. He then served as ambassador of Canada to North Korea from 2005 to 2007, South Korea from 2004 to 2007, and Vietnam from 1997 to 1999. Mr. Grinius is also a fellow of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. I'd like to begin by taking this opportunity to thank you for doing this interview and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I'd like to begin by asking you the following question. With your expertise and your experience, what would you say were some of the most rewarding and challenging aspects associated with working for the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade as a diplomat and ambassador of Canada to the United Nations, North Korea, South Korea, and Vietnam?
Well, there are quite a few, actually, highlights, as I think, over the last 33 years. Of course, as ambassador, it is obviously a wonderful, great privilege of representing Canada overseas, whether it's in a bilateral situation like North and South Korea or Vietnam or other places, or in the multilateral arena of the United Nations. So, again, I've lived a privileged life. But in terms of some of the most rewarding aspects and the challenging aspects, they occurred actually early on in my diplomatic career. And I'm thinking particularly of my first posting overseas, which was in Bangkok, Thailand, in 1980. And when I arrived in January of 1980, I was assigned to the refugee program. You will recall that this was the height of the Indo-Chinese boat people fleeing from Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. And Canada took many, many thousands of refugees, and I was part of the fairly small group of Canadians stationed in Thailand who did the refugee selections from that area. There were other Canadians, diplomats who were serving in Singapore, in Indonesia, and also in Hong Kong, of course, and the Philippines, who did their bit. But taking refugees in was truly both a huge challenge and, of course, rewarding to help these people. And certainly in those days, for instance, when I got there, we were actually working 7 days a week for about almost 2 years straight, except for the 3 days I had off with an unknown fever. Hospitalized, but you can get a sense of the intensity of the work. And certainly, again, we were there, a great team, working hard and diligently. The other real highlight that I found was I was extended in Bangkok and a number of other responsibilities, but one of the greatest ones, I think, in terms of challenge and reward, was doing consular work. That means helping Canadians in distress. And there were a number of cases, incidents where Canadians were very sick or something else happened for her. And it was really rewarding from my point of view as a people to help these Canadians in distress. And one of these days, I keep thinking that I should write a book about some of the specific cases. But anyway, refugees and Canadians in distress were truly two major highlights.
Certainly, and as a former ambassador of Canada, you served over 33 years for the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade. With your background and expertise, what is the best advice that you can provide to those who are interested in pursuing a career in diplomacy?
Well, every young person has their own predilections in terms of what they want to do with their lives or what they want to experience for a longer time or a shorter time. It really depends on the individual. But in terms of the advice that I would give to any Canadian who is interested in representing Canada overseas would be to be curious, actually, about our world and where Canada can actually make a difference overseas and, by extension, make a difference in terms of our own lives here in Canada. I think it's truly important to think through some of the challenges that are out there, the 21st century global challenges, I call them, whether we're talking about climate change or all of the challenges that we now have with the environment, the trend lines in terms of terrorism or refugees or people smuggling. We still are battled with the issues, security issues with respect to nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation, the issue of international crime, drugs, people smuggling. So there are a whole bunch of true 21st century challenges that the people who are interested in contributing for Canada have to think through and kind of decide where their own value added could be, needs to be, in terms of service to Canada.
Certainly, and Mr. Grinius, you served as the Director General of International Security Policy for the Department of National Defense from August of 2011 to July of 2012. You were also a Director of Operations, Security, and Intelligence for the Privy Council Office from 2002 to 2004. Then from 1999 to 2001, you served as the Principal Analyst as a Social Development Policy Secretariat for the Privy Council Office. And now, with your background, can you please discuss the significance and the impact of forming and developing strong international security policies?
To me, in terms of my own perspective, it's always a question of knowing what is going on in the world in terms of the security challenges that we have, and thinking through about what we can, what the Canada and with our partners, whether we're talking about alliances like NATO or working with like-minded countries at the United Nations, thinking through and figuring out how we can do our bit collectively and sometimes individually to ensure that our security is truly well managed under circumstances that we all know that are very, very difficult. You know, think about the Middle East these days, in Syria or ISIS. The thing that one has to keep in mind, I think, is that it's a very unpredictable world out there with a lot of what I would consider as unforeseen consequences. So even sometimes a decision by Canada or collectively with others is made, but again, we cannot control the consequences of that decision as we would love to do sometimes. And I'm thinking particular about some of the issues around Afghanistan, going back to the days when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan and they were pushed out, and NATO with other partners came in, and we're still struggling after much blood and treasure has been spent in Afghanistan. When one thinks about Libya and the fall of Gaddafi, we collectively thought we're protecting people, responsibility to protect, which indeed was the case. But again, there are certain chaotic downsides over Syria. We've had a surge of optimism in terms of the Arab Spring in the last number of years. But again, as we see Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Libya, there have been certain consequences. And so, again, security, if we don't have a proper international security order based on international law, we will have, and do sometimes have, chaos. And this is what we're trying to avoid. And it's a difficult challenge. We don't always get it right go forward, but we really have to work at it, and it's the basis of prosperity and peace in terms of our entire global system.
And now, in addition to serving as the Director General of International Security Policy for the Department of National Defense, you also served as a lieutenant and captain of the Royal Regiment Canadian Artillery for the Canadian Army for over 8 years. What is the best advice that you can provide to those who are perhaps interested in pursuing a career in the Canadian Army?
Well, it certainly is an interesting time right now as the current government of Canada is going through the detailed and extensive defense policy review. And those people who may be interested in serving in the military, all I can say to them is you have to have the same sort of attitude as any potential diplomat, and that is to really think about service to Canada and again defense policy service, i.e. being in the Canadian Army, Navy, or Air Force, is truly a noble calling, and the one that those who are so inclined should think of very seriously. In my own terms, had I not, I was serving in West Germany as a staff officer when I wrote my foreign service exams and then meant to interview. It's really a change in career. But as I have said many times to many people, had I not been fortunate enough to join the Canada's diplomatic service, I would have been very proud to serve in the Canadian military for my entire career. And certainly I've kept in touch with my many military friends over the years. It's just a question of what do you want to do with your life, and if service to Canada is part of it, then I would encourage young people to think about it. Go and sign up.